first verse in chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. 6 days it took the mighty God of heaven, 6 days to form the earth and heaven, and to create man in his own likeness. It was a perfect work, because every day, one day succeeded the other. And my friends, that what was accomplished then is still remains. We have day and night. And we have winter and summer. We have the spring, and we have the sowing and the harvest. Nothing's been altered. But amidst it all, since man fell, it's been a checkered world. And we have proof of that even in the solemn times in which we live. Though as a land we have been spared much that others are passing through. It's a checkered world. And as the apostle wrote, our God is a consuming fire. And yet throughout the word of God, from the time sin entered and our first parents fell, and even until now and will be to the end, there is a work, a season and a time and a purpose concerning all. I remember an oldish man telling me that he was on the hills and Cotswold Hills. There were three men. In the open field. And a purple storm came up, thunderstorm. Two sought refuge under an hedge, and he stood in the open field. When he looked under the hedge, they were gone into eternity. That never took place without the knowledge of God. It was a time, yet it had no other effect on him beyond that it was said. It never brought him to ponder the feet and the steps he was in. Never showed him to be a sinner. So you see, some purposes, there is judgment of God in it, and no mercy. You see, he's sovereign in all his ways, and in all his acts. So, there is not anything taking place on the whole earth unknown to him. If it's for the destruction of nations, it happens. If it's for the salvation of a country, and we have experienced as a country, twice in man before, generation before, God particular care over us as a country. And I would set it before you young people, in a special way in two instances in our lives and life of those old enough to remember. He raised up men of wisdom, men that he gave wisdom to, and to guide us. Not only did he himself appear, on one occasion, when our enemy was near our shores, he caused a thick fog, so thick that they could not move any nearer to our shores. We would remember these things. Whatever God appoints in your life and mine, and if thou art one that is appointed and got a deep cause for it, that you might know his heavenly blessings, he will not have a child of God be dumb. Oh no. He would, thou serve hold, never to forget how the Lord brought them out of Egypt and led them through the Red Sea and eventually through the wilderness into the promised land. They were to ever remind their children of these things. He won't have his works for God. And I would say, with all reverence, he'll not have you forgotten, if you're one of his. Oh, he knows how to bring, by his almighty power, each one that bears his name to remember him. And then they will prove that his works are great, and that his salvation, which is greatest of all that is works, is given unto fallen men and women and children. We spoke a little from one we traced along from Genesis forward of where God appeared for his children and where he destroyed their enemies. We little thought, David, no doubt, ever thought that he would pen such nice language suitable to all God's children in the Psalms, or Moses either, or Asaph. There were several that could write these precious truths to the glory and honor of God and the laying low of the sinner. That it was so. From the time that he was delivered Israel, in the hand of God, until he was taken into eternity, he had a great deal called to do, which he did under the mighty act and power of a living God. And so it runs through the whole of the scriptures. Something mighty was done. And when was that accomplished? When thy looked up to heaven. We little perceive what grace he gives to his children when he favors them. You see, it was the simplest means that caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. And yet they did. And when Jehoshaphat's eyes went up to the Lord, oh, my friends, with their enemies all around them, God delivered him. And Anthor, his servants, he bid the sun to stand still and the moon. What cannot our God do? There will be no infidels. All thou infidelity will often assail God's people, because they have a very bitter enemy in Satan. And he will often persuade a child of God that is not one or she is not one. And will often suffer them to take a step and that they might prove what a liar he is and what a tempter he is. That he preserves them. God does. Oh, he does, my friend. It's not that which we see stretched out on wood or stone, that awful mockery. Awful mockery. They cannot help if they pray it from one year to another. But we have a living God, a powerful God. And the greatest amount of this power lies in this, in bringing any, and I say any, upon this earth to fear his name. We don't know how many. Very foolish of us to ever try to number them. I believe David was sorry, and it was near the end of his days. And he numbered all his army, and then God came, gave him three choices. He chose that, my friends, where they died with a dreadful disease. He lost a great number of them. Don't ever number God's people. God numbers them. There will not be one less, and there will not be one more. And as we've been singing, he moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. There's no power on earth can give a child, a man, woman, or child grace. He can. And it is in this way, when he caused healing through his servants to sin against him, Hezekiah did, you know. With all that God did for him. He said to the prophet, what is this in thine house? And he had to admit he showed all in his house unto the enemy, though they were not enemies then. Now he says there, not in your time, but in your son's time, all will be carried into Babylon. All the treasures, all that out of the temple. You see, God's people, they are only what they are in God's sight by his matchless grace and faith in exercise. And when they wander from him, he visits them where they feel it most. And yet he'll never cast off one that he chastens. It was carried into Babylon. Time rolled on. Every day brought something new. It do now, don't it? If you had the mind and had the power and the memory to take every day in 1960, you'd find there were many, many changeable events, even in the day. And I could tell you those whom God opens the secrets of his eternal mind to us, their covenant God, there have been days that they've been obliged by a good Lord's goodness and favor to call the day of the Lord. In his gifts, in his leadings, in his supporting you. And there have been seasons when he has given you a sweet knowledge that he has remembered you with the favor that he bears to his children, his own people. Without bless him enough, we can't sound his name too low. We cannot lay the sinner too low that our precious Christ may be exalted. Now this was one of four. For I love to run through these things being on my mind this last day or two. Oh, it was a big day, a day of pride to Nebuchadnezzar, you know. He thought of that great city that he built or had been built under his reign, Nineveh. He looked upon its glories, and we have by those that have left the history of it, it was fine city. Not only had he power there, but all around. And what did it cause? Though he was a man that knew not God, it caused that which God hates most, and that was pride. That was pride. We all carry a little of it. Ever since our first parents wept it. And he looked upon all this at the world. That he wanted some godly captives, children of God, Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Daniel afterward, but the three Hebrew children, to bow down to a golden image. But look how God took care of them. You see, we sometimes in our ministrations leave these things out. They say, preach Christ, preach peace. Ah, Christ is in all these, my friend. If you have sinned against the Savior, you'll be punished for it. But you'll not lose salvation. He's a jealous God, he's Jesus Christ. And my friends, there was the fiery furnace, and you as young people know all that, I'm sure. I know I used to read it when I was at Sunday school. But there was something greater than Nebuchadnezzar ever possessed then. You say, what was that? They had the power of God's grace. It wonderfully preserved them. My friends, the time came, and it was a season, and it was a time for a great purpose. He has a purpose for you and me. I hope he had a purpose over 19 years ago to bring me here. I couldn't see it when I came. Has he a purpose for you? If he has, thou ripen fast. and I'll at fault every hour. But you see, what was the purpose? To prepare a fire for its use. And I will bring the third part through the fire. And I will be to them a God, and I shall be to thee a people. There's a fire. Do you say that mighty monarch calls that fire God? That would never took place. Those men had honored their God, and God was to honor them by revealing to that king, who knew nothing of God, that he was God not only of those three men, but God over all the earth. I was reading it this afternoon. God over all the earth. Not a little bit here and a little bit there. I believe wherever the child of God lives, there's a special care over them by their God. And you have special blessings. And you have his hand take you in a special way and have led you into special blessings. I do. There are precious places. There no evil shall come near thy dwelling. Wonderful favor when a covenant God makes known his love to his dear people. They place the men in, yes. And the king sees them there. He beheld them. Ever took their lives. Never took their lives. At that time, they never went to ashes. Now, they were preserved. And for a great purpose, under the heaven, there it was an heavenly one, but they come down to the earth. He heard, he said, I see four men, and one is light. Unto the Son of God. Wonderful, wasn't it? He had a natural view of it. He saw them come out of that fire untouched by the flame. That's God's care over his people. And sometimes brought his dear children through affliction, and the affliction has been passed, and they've been preserved. I heard the case of a dear godly woman. She was very fond of her beauty. And God brought her through that terrible disease we hear so little of today, smallpox. And her face was pitted all over. When she looked in the looking glass, she saw what an awful picture she was. But she said this, God showed me a far worse picture. When I looked within that glass, he showed me my sins, and my soul as a sinner. And I cried for mercy. God gave her mercy in his own time. God, you see, your times are in his hand. His purposes will come when he sends them. They shall come from heaven. So that, my friends, it will remain for eternity. That before that affliction had left her, he said one word to her, which is the greatest of all blessings, but he used that affliction to be the spot and the season and the time. And all he said was, daughter. He never said any more. With all that outside and inside revealed to her by God, he came over the pool and said to her, so, daughter. He sat down on the seat. He removed all the pits from his flesh. He took away all the flame and the fire, and he broke her bones. And he took one out of that affliction as one of his own daughters. That's the love of Christ which you're coming to. You see, the Old Testament and the New are beautifully blended. God's work runs through it all. Daniel in the den of lions, he never died there. Only his enemies. And with all the forsaking of God, God never left them that feared his name, because they were in his covenant of love. Now, before I go forward, look at Solomon. Was there any prayer greater than his when he asked for wisdom to guide the people? God gave him wisdom, and he gave him riches, and he gave him honor. Very great wisdom, many riches. And yet he married one of Pharaoh's daughters. He had a great work to do, appointed by God, to build a temple. Take that prayer that he used when the temple was happening, with all its glory, and the Lord's name to be placed there. You would say, could ever such a gracious, wise, blessed man fall? There's only one who keeps the feet of his saints. We'll have to be hard on any that fall, very little sometimes. Not if we have known what Job's teaches, that where there's nothing perfect in us, at any rate. After the temple being built, and the glory of it seen, and his wisdom remarkable given, more set forth than when those two women, that one was dead of the children and the other living. Then the one whose child was dead was claiming the living one. They both claimed the living one. And you look at the wisdom. You see that wisdom that God had given Solomon. He took and beat that there should be slime, that the live one should be cut in two. It was wisdom. It brought out the real mother. She cried out for her child. Now God gives that wisdom. It's very great for thou to fear God, to have wisdom. Not only the things pertaining to this life, but especially for those things pertaining to eternity. Now let us go to the close of Solomon. He worshipped other gods. Solomon, wasn't it? It never took him out of the book of life that he worshipped other gods. He listened to those that were not God's children. And Orpah was a bull. He says, not in your day. He was angry. Not in your day, Solomon, but in your son's day, your kingdom will be rent in two. You might say, why are you bringing these solemn events forward to show you possess grace when he gives it to you? We ask for fresh supplies, don't we? And it makes one ponder in their old age. Oh, I said, Lord, keep us now. Infirmities increase. The power of sin increases in that within. And then we need the Lord to keep us. It brings us to this place. What a wonderful gift is the favor and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he was given, that will not go over again. He was given of the Father, wasn't he? And he had suffering. He had suffering of mind before he had suffering of body. They called him Beelzebub, the prince of devils. My friend, the savior of sinners, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. He had brought into that condition by the obedience to his Father and the deep purpose and necessity and season from his birth to his death. To remove the veil of the temple. That law which convicted everyone that broke it. There was no mercy in it. Look at the love. Look at the exaltation of his dear son. He died. He died. He could have took the breath of all that were his enemies in a moment, but he died. Why? The great cause was this, that his people should live and never know what the cause of death is. Yet there's not any more tried about the fear of death than they are. An awful vow. But he died. He conquered it. No hand delivered him. Now the angels rolled away the stones from the sepulchre. He had done a great mighty work. And the gospel and the power of a dear Redeemer had gone forth by his own breath into the hearts of many sinners. And it would do us good to just look through his works, raising the widow's son, only son of life, healing those the leper, bringing the giving sight to the blind, that the Bible to remember Mary Magdalene and Martha, Mary and Lazarus in the abundance of his love that he shed in their heart. And that's the greatest blessing he gives you now. He's ascended up on high. He has led captivity captive. He has received gifts for men, even to the rebellious also, when of obedience. Gadsby knew what he was writing in that hymn. It is recorded in his book. And he was about to go on a preaching journey. And he thought he'd have a very comfortable time. And he went down and walked down the garden and slipped and broke his leg. And instead of going where he thought, he had to lay on that bed of affliction. And he said, I was very fretful. Some say it was the convincing of this evening, you say. He knew what he was talking about. We know it. It's no use you saying you're not fretful sometimes. Oh, that there never arises in your nature that which is opposed to the nature and work of Christ. Sure to be there. And it grieves you because you wouldn't have it there. But my friend, there is this concern when you repent and call sorrow out before him. His forgiveness within, that he may be pleased. I've thought many times what that wonderful blessing, the sealing of his love to a sinner. In my latter days, I hope I can say the most blessed visit I had was when he called me a sinner. You don't know what we go through when we're in our own quiet places. gave up that night and said, you're a Judas. I'd been called a Judas in the open street. That was years ago. And it come that night, you're a Judas. Oh, it was a thrust. It was a thrust, my friend. It took the whole of my ministry and the whole of my life. And I prayed to the Lord to decide it. And it came so sweetly. That was the season. Satan's temptation. Don't think there's a season you pass through, whether of temptation or his love manifest, but I shall not forget it. Sinner, I have loved thee, not to take me to heaven, though I may have many fears of thee, not to take you to heaven if he'd ever give you a touch of his love for him. Oh, you see, how did that come then? Well, Jesus. There is one particular portion in the names of a precious Christ. When we approach his name, privately or publicly, and that is this, as the mediator. He's your mediator. He's your desman. He stands between yourself and his Father. And the blessing comes down. It really needs what we said this morning, a touch of his atoning blood that sets the captive free, seals redemption to the soul. Now let us look, little higher, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever, whatever years you and I might see, and forever. Is the same Jesus that wept at the grave of Lazarus, the same Jesus that forgave the woman who came into the Pharisee's house and stood behind him weeping, washed his feet with her tears, and dried them with his hair blade. Wonderful Lord, he'd shed in her eyes. The same Jesus that the Mary took that box of ointment, very precious, and anointed him. The same Jesus. The same Jesus that said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? I believe, she said, thou art the Son of God. You see, there's a great deal, and then as you read through this chapter, there was a time when you were born. And I always believe there's something very special in the days of unregeneracy of a minister when they're born. You know I'm old. When I was a babe, I was laid ready to be placed in the coffin. That was the next thing they were going to do with this man. But there was a very slight movement. When I was born, there was no one near my mother. And she gave me to the Lord. Living or dying, she gave me to the Lord. After that, I was able. And you see, in my days of unregeneracy, my life was spared, although I was not strong for years. Now, many thought of my friends, I should go out of this life into eternity when I was 21 years of age. But here I am. There was something special, not revealed to me till some years after, which I carried 22 years before God opened a way for the ministry. Before I formed thee in the womb, I sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the nation. What has happened? There was a time, and there was a purpose, and it was under heaven. If you had said to those old pilgrims, when I was 40 years of age, that I should live to my age, they'd have said, I can't believe it. Ah, my friends, there's a special care over God's servants. So we ought to be careful about it. Every weapon that's formed against them shall fail. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, who will condemn it? The servant. They'll have condemnation set against them. Ah, my friend. Then you just come to the family, yes? Every son and every daughter, whoso toucheth them, toucheth the apple of mine eye. That's his love, bound round them. Covenant love. Special protection, special deliverance, and special blessings. Happy is that soul that hath the God of Jacob for their help. Their blessed souls. And that blessing is manifest this way. You can take child of God, wherever you are, wherever you live, you take it on your lips and he's placed it in your heart. You can't. There's been